Welcome to the Begin the Begin podcast. My name is Jeff Hillemeyer, and I'm on a mission to find out what makes people tick. Not just anyone, people who are making a profound impact on the world. I want to dig into their origin story and get to the root of why and how they do what they do. I hope you are as inspired coming out of these conversations as I am. Let's get into it. On this episode, I had the chance to talk with my friend, Hani Berker. For anyone that knows Hani, they know she's a bright, bursting light of positivity, bringing joy to everyone she comes in contact with. I was really excited to hear more about her inspiring journey, which led her to start Joyveal, a company helping business leaders live their healthiest, most joyful life. You're going to love hearing her story. And hey, while I've got you, I would love it if you'd consider subscribing on whatever platform you're listening on. I have a lot of great guests lined up that, trust me, you won't want to miss. Okay, let's get into it. Okay, I'm super excited about today's episode because I get to chat with one of my favorite Atlanta leaders and someone that I've worked pretty closely with over the last couple of years with Ripples of Hope. So, Hani, will you tell everyone who you are and what you do?
Yeah, happy to, Jeff. I'm so glad we're having this conversation. My name is Hani Berker, and I'm the CEO of Joyveal. And Joyveal is a network of professional health coaches. We work with busy executives to help them live a healthy and a joyful life.
I love that, a joyful life. And we're going to talk about why that's important. I want to hear a bit about your story. I know I've heard bits and pieces. I definitely know the Hani that was working at IHG and then started this company. But I don't think I know much about the real story. So tell me where you grew up.
Yes, it actually goes way back. So I'm originally from Austria, born and raised in Austria, and actually was there until about age 22. But through a personal heartache in my family when I grew up, I very early on actually dove deep into chocolate and really got into a chocolate addiction that I carried on through just, you know, until very recent years. But I moved to Chicago in 2000. The intent was really to actually, I worked for IHG, Intercontinental Hotels Group, and initially worked at the hotel level a couple of years in Vienna. And then I moved to Chicago really with the intent to stay there for 2 years. And out of 2 years became 4 years because I did fall in love. And in that relationship, the man I was dating back then, he had moved to Atlanta. That's how I really ended up in Atlanta. We both moved to Atlanta. And unfortunately, you know, without going into too much details, the relationship that turned into a marriage was a very short marriage, you know, that ended up in a divorce that was the biggest heartache that I experienced in my life. I was for probably close to 2.5 years. I put myself in a hole, and I actually am really explicit about this today when I talk to people, that it was me that did that. It was me that I was in such pain about being rejected that I woke up every morning with, you know, John Mayer's song, "When You're Dreaming with a Broken Heart," aww, "The waking up is the hardest part." It was just like you taking a knife every morning and kind of stabbing yourself in the heart over and over again. I was really wallowing in my pain for those 2.5 years. And I gained a lot of weight during that time. And interesting enough, because obviously if you think about it, in what we, you know, what many of us do when we are in a place of sadness and really in a very stressful and anxious situation, I threw myself into work. And, you know, it's quite amazing. Actually, when I look back, I had a most wonderful career with IHG, opportunities to travel the world and really have some very meaningful roles. So I hung on to that. I really enjoyed that side of it. But what I don't think really too many people at IHG at work actually realized is how much pain and suffering I had outside of work. And a lift of chocolate that really became my my biggest nutrition group, I think, in those couple of years. And I just gained a lot of weight. And It was Christmas 2010. I was, you know, again, my family actually is all in Austria, my mom, my dad, my sister, my nieces, everyone is there. And so I typically go home for Christmas, but for some reason that Christmas of 2010, I can't even tell you why, they made the decision to not go back to Austria. And I celebrated Christmas in my living room. And I had a tree and on all of the presents right there. And I decided that afternoon to make myself an absolutely fancy meal. And I opened up a bottle of red wine and I slowly drank it throughout the afternoon. And then, you know, there was this moment that evening. I was nowhere drunk at all, but there was this moment that evening when I started to play some music and I started dancing in my living room and I just looked at this tree and just I unwrapped these presents from my family and my friends. And I had this moment where it just was so clear. I'm like, I have to change. Something has to change in my life. It was so powerful. And I think and what I also talk and tell our clients today, I think one of the most important things that all of us need to do is to make a very conscious decision that we want to make a change, that we truly want to change certain aspects in our life. And that was the start of it. And so over the following 2 years, I started to eat healthier. It felt like the stars sort of aligned around me. You know, I met people that were in a boot camp company. And so I started going to boot camp every morning at 5:45. They taught me how to eat well. And so it was a great progression, but interesting enough, looking back, I see now that I ended up going from this one extreme of being in a hole for so long to this other end of the extreme where I was aiming for this perfectionism, this, I was just looking for a six pack. I just didn't eat any bad food. Well, besides chocolate, that was still part of the story. That didn't end for another couple of years, but I really just became obsessed with being in a good place. But it was in a very unhealthy place where counting calories, every calorie I put in my mouth, every macronutrition, every protein, every fiber, it was just not a healthy place to be in that either. And so that was around, 2012, 2013. And then in 2015, I discovered a lump in my breast, in my right breast. And it was a real scare because it took actually way too long for doctors to research to figure out if there's something wrong. And the really good news was there was no cancer, but both the doctor and I looked at each other and said, something needs to change. And I was honestly really confused about it because at the time I felt like healthy eating is really at the core of all and entire health. And that Christmas, so this was in August of 2015 when I discovered it. And then that Christmas of 2015, shortly before that fall, I met a health coach. And through the conversations with the health coach, I decided, really through talking it through with the coach, I decided to take off that Christmas for 3 weeks off of work, which is unheard of. In the corporate world, certainly you take the week between Christmas and New Year, but I took off the whole thing. And I decided also to do a 7-day vegetable and fruit juice cleanse for 7 days, just really drinking the most potent, nutritious, home-squeezed juices. And by the time those 3 weeks were over, the lump had disappeared. Completely disappeared. It wasn't smaller. It was gone.
Wow.
And that's exactly the reaction I had as well. And I'm like, oh my God, like my body is amazing. And I was just so curious as to what just happened. And that led me to really start into learning more about health and nutrition. And today I know with all the research that is out there that at the core of all of our at least chronic diseases, all the most deadly chronic diseases that we have in this country, if it's diabetes, Alzheimer's, cancer, all cardiovascular disease, at the center of all of that is stress. And so it's a passion of mine. We may talk a little bit more about it, but through the speaking side that I do to really talk and share the knowledge that I've gained about how to reduce stress in our lives. And it's just has been the journey that's ultimately started me to start Joyville, because it was initially a health coach that put me on the right path.
Yeah. What's so interesting too, is that 3 weeks you took off, you did the juice cleanse, but you also took time off work.
And I did. Yeah.
You know, the stress probably also started to alleviate from that as well.
Honestly, Jeff, those 3 weeks, I mean, I barely moved. I mean, I read books. Mm. I took baths. I lit candles around myself. It was 3 weeks of complete self-care. And I know it's just, you know, anybody in a busy executive role right now is just looking at like, how can I afford doing that? But wow, you know what? Yeah. Coming out of it was well worth every day that I decided to do that.
I'm curious, you know, as you found yourself in a position where you changed your life, you got healthy, you obsessed about it, you know, a little bit. You had a health coach help you and you saw the benefits of that. You're in corporate, and somewhere along the lines, you thought to yourself, I could do something to help this. Had you done anything entrepreneurial before you decided to start Joyville?
I had not. No. I think what gave me the courage to start out on my own is that I, with, you know, being in corporate for over 20, close to 20 years, that in those 20 years, I had a chance to be in so many different areas of the business. I was for 7 years in customer service, working on the property level, being straight, you know, on the front of at the front desk, either initially at the front desk, but then, you know, in Chicago, 800 room property, I was manager on duty. So, I mean, responsible for every guest interaction where somebody wasn't happy, or power outage in the city of Chicago, you know, where guests couldn't walk up the 30 flights, or, you know, it's just a very challenging role, but I learned so much in it. And then I was in an area of price management, so supply and demand and price setting. I was able to manage some of the most important partnerships that ISG had, and managing the brands. I was in a marketing role. So it was just a diversity of roles. It's almost like someone gave me the opportunity to learn all aspects of the business. And I walked out of IHG with this, you know what, I have them all. I have the branding, I have the marketing, I have the pricing, I have the customer service. So that really was the courage that it allowed me to really do this.
Yeah. Well, I do think there's a lot of courage there. I often tell people that I'm most impressed with entrepreneurs that start their entrepreneurial journey deep into their successful corporate career, because that's a hard ledge to step off of. So I really, really commend you on that. When you and I first met, was it Eric Lent that connected us?
It was. Yes. Yes. I remember that. Yes. Certainly, the conversation with you was important.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm going to tell the story in a second. When we did meet, I can't remember, had you already started the business, or you were thinking about starting the business?
I was pretty determined that I would, but I was still actually in the last few weeks of IT. I kind of remember if I already had given my notice, but I was clearly long enough, long enough in my thinking that I showed you, I believe, in the plan of what I feel like Joyville would be looking like one day. So yeah, I definitely was. I was already in a place of I need to do this.
Yeah, you showed me a deck. I remember. So I'm going to tell the story because I love it. You know the story because you lived it, but you also know my embarrassment. So here's what happened. So we were meeting at, I think it was La Madeleine in Perimeter.
Cafe Intermezzo.
Cafe Intermezzo. That's right. Cafe Intermezzo. So I had just that day or the day before was talking to a friend who was saying that he switched from coffee. He didn't have coffee anymore. And he would sometimes have a hot chocolate instead of a coffee. And I was at that moment, I don't know why, thinking, yeah, maybe I'll give it a try. Maybe not a coffee. So I got there earlier than you and I ordered a hot chocolate. Not having that I can remember ever ordered a hot chocolate before, unless I was like with my kids at a Starbucks or something. So it comes right before you, I think right before you got there, or it came while you were there, but it was
I can only describe it as like a soup mug that size, you know, wide and short, like I was going to eat this with a spoon. And it was so like overdone with like chocolate syrup and marshmallows. And it was the biggest, most ridiculous thing. And here you are telling me about this health business that you're starting. And I don't think I ate much of it, because I was so mortified that this is what I ordered in front of you for our first meeting. I've never ordered a hot chocolate again.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's so funny because honestly, I don't remember your hot chocolate. Like I remember you telling me this story a while back, and I think I was so into our conversation. I don't think I even registered, but I think it's just a really beautiful way of realizing how much all of us are in our heads, and like, you know,
yes,
how we feel everyone else will look at how we show up in the world. And it's actually a big part that I talk about in my speaking engagements. It's just that our chatter, the chatter in our head that just creates unnecessary, you know, I'm sure it wasn't necessarily anxiety in your point in that situation, but still like that uncomfortableness, yeah.
Well,
so funny, yes.
I'm glad you didn't remember that. Okay. So, tell me about Joyveal and sort of the big idea of what you wanted to accomplish when you started it.
Yeah. I mean, the big idea really is to support busy executives, and just living, and I said this before, but you know, the two words that they are so strong in my mind, to living this healthy and joyful life. There is a health aspect, although I think most executives that start working with one of our health coaches really actually initially approach us with the thought that they should be eating all better, and you know, they should be working out more, and that we give them a meal plan. And yes, that is important. I think that's the health part to it. You know, there are certain aspects to it of how do you nourish your body. But what is so important for all of us that are just so super busy, and you know, it that is the foundation of all of our you know, ailments, so to say, in life, is stress. So what our coaches really do when they work with our clients is to first and foremost help them create a vision of what they look like at their healthiest and best self. We really talk through all aspects of their life, and we help them create the vision of what they look like at their healthiest and best self as a mom, as a parent, as a spouse, to, you know, to their husband, to their wife. How do they envision themselves at their best selves, in the way they create joy in their lives, the way they nourish their mind and their bodies, their spirituality, you know, what are the most important relationships in their life? And so all of these aspects. And so you create almost like this map of you of what would great look like. And then, you know, it's really client led. The client and, you know, zooms in to the area that is most important to them. And what I love, and we just got two new testimonials, one from the chief culture officer from Tabasco. And she said, you know, this is the best kept secret ever, because it's really the questions that our health coaches are asking that are so thought provoking that allow a client to look at their situation from a different angle. You know, the amount of times that you're like, oh, right, you know what, I never thought about it this way. And it's just a really, in my mind, and from what I'm hearing from our clients as well, a really powerful way for them to start making a move on the path to reaching their vision. You know, I think so many people are coming to us with the idea, let's just say I need to lose 10 pounds. But 10 pounds, 15 pounds, whatever it is, it's a really daunting and goal that there's nothing inspiring behind it. But if you start asking yourself, what happens if you lost the 10 or 15 pounds? And you said, you know what, I'm going to fit into my clothes again. And I'm like, all right, what happens when you fit into your clothes again? And you say, you know what, I don't know, I just will feel better about myself. okay, what changes with you feeling better about yourself? And before you know it, you realize that I will be more confident in my work and finally asking for the raise at work. But, you know, it might be actually much more about the relationships. I finally, you know, will get intimate with my husband again. You know, those are the things that all of a sudden you get goosebumps. And if you really have something that you want to chase, not because it's 10 pounds, but because your relationship with your husband is better, your relationship with your teenage daughter going through her, you know, teenage struggles, that's opening up to you because you just show up a lot more relaxed and with her. So those are the things that would really help people realize that is your goal. That is your vision. And then we just really spend every session just to help a client make movements towards that vision.
So important. And It is clear to me, you know, we both know lots of busy executives. We both have been busy executives and, you know, people who are driven in their careers often spend so much time and energy focusing on that and getting better at that and working that, and yet do so little of focusing on themselves, to put themselves into that place that you're talking about. I love the idea of creating the vision. Is it your experience or expectation that someone gets there, or is it sort of a journey through life that it evolves as you go and, you know, you're sort of always on that path?
It is a journey. We don't work with clients, let's just say, for example, that say, you know what, I have a wedding in February to go to, I want to lose 10 pounds. That is definitely not the person we encourage to work with us, because we're looking to work with clients that want the sustainable change. But it is a journey, because if you go back now to that map analogy of all aspects of your life, of what you look like at your healthy and best self in all of these areas, you know, working with the coach, you may just fulfill one, two areas, but our goal is honestly not for you to be tied to the health coach. Well, we have CEOs that have been with us for over a year at this point, just because they love that reflection from another person about all aspects of their lives. But we also have clients that say, you know what, I kind of have this down now. I know what the process is and I will continue on my own. But, you know, if I look back at my life, I would say it was pretty much from 2016 on, when I had this revelation of what is health really about, that is about stress. You know, you can definitely make such great headway in a year's time.
Wow. That's awesome. And I love the case study you shared earlier. I know you've talked about, as you go down this journey of supporting busy executives, that one of the keys is B2B partnerships. Can you talk about that? And I'm just sort of curious if, like, I think about a company like IHG, if they were to see the data on how much better their leaders performed, having been through your program for sure, but just in general, gotten healthier, mind, body, spirit, I mean, there has to be a direct correlation between their performance. And so are businesses starting to understand that this is something they can offer, especially to their executives, maybe to any employee, to help them perform better?
Yeah, I think we're just really starting to get there. I think, you know, as much as COVID has been so so hard on so many, like on everyone, quite frankly, but one of the things it has done is everyone's view on the need on living a healthier life. I was on a call with executives just this last week, and it was very clear that going into this year, stress, reducing stress is just like a top priority. You know, it's interesting because I would love, as you say, really put numbers to the impact of the work that it is that we do. It's really hard to measure joy, you know, because if you read the testimonials, it's so evident. I mean, we had one testimonial that was talking about after just three sessions, I feel happier. And you're absolutely right. It does translate into work, but nobody has really done the work behind the scenes to say this was your performance beforehand. It's just really hard to have apples to apple comparison, you know, because there's so many other variables in any business that contribute to an executive success, the team, the goals, the economy. So it's really hard to put numbers behind it.
Yeah. Well, it might be interesting if one day one of the executives you help, sees such, you know, sees the returns and then maybe decides to engage your company to work with their leadership team, at which point they'd be able to clearly see the impact that it can make.
Yeah, it actually, this reminds me, we have a really good relationship with Emory Executive Health. You know, Emory Executive Health does the annual physicals for the most senior executives of about 150 companies in and around Atlanta and beyond. And so they have been referring clients to us, their patients to us. And I really feel that that is probably the avenue where they see it the most, because, you know, they have the lab, almost the lab results of people's health. So it's definitely an avenue that we're considering.
Mm, yeah. Awesome. So I know that, you know, you said it earlier and it makes total sense. You know, you're interested in working with people who want to make a lifelong change and really change their habits and, well, their whole life. You're not looking for, hey, I just want to lose 10 pounds. That said, do you have any for people listening that might be interested or might not be in a position to sign up with Joyveal? Do you have just some basic sort of life tips to lead a healthier life? You know, I know you meditate. I know you do the cleanses. Are there like a handful of things you'd throw out that are just good ideas for anybody who wants to start getting healthier?
Yes. I think the most important message that I would love for people to hear is start by reducing your stress. Everything is tied to it. Your chance of continuing a new diet regime or, you know, a new exercise regime will not be able to sustain itself unless you start actually focusing on how do you reduce, you know, those stressful moments in your life. So I would absolutely start there, not just because it is the most important driver in your health. I mean, I don't think people realize you can be eating the most healthiest food in the world, but if your cortisol level in your body is raging, cortisol takes over all other hormones. Your body is not absorbing and using the nutrients that you are consuming in anywhere closely as well as if you're in a calm and happy place. So start there, and you're absolutely right. I do enjoy a meditation. You know, would it be great that everybody does a 10-minute meditation in the morning? Absolutely. At the same time, I think this is what I love with health coaching too. We really want to work. We are working with our clients to identify what's feasible in their life. So while it's, you know, maybe a walk in the neighborhood for someone just around the block in the morning, a 15-minute, 20-minute walk, that's great. Somebody else might be going for a yoga class. Somebody else might be meditating. So there isn't really this is the recipe for this. But one of the things, and this is just, we wrote a blog about this that is already published on the Joyveal website about the importance of a morning routine. If you can get the morning right, you're really setting yourself up for success. And quite frankly, your morning starts with the night before. So the longer you're up, the later you're going to get up. And so therefore your morning routine is going to, you know, get squashed. So try to eat dinner early, try to, you know, get to bed every day at the same time. For me, that's 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, with the goal really to make it through 6 o'clock. Sometimes for me, it's a yoga in the morning. Sometimes for me, it's sitting down with some spiritual reading. Sometimes I put up my happy playlist and start dancing in the living room for a little bit to get my heart up and get my joyful, you know, mood, you know, my positive, optimistic mood going. So there are many different ways of doing that. But if I would say one tip right now, focus on reducing stress. And the best way to do is really by starting to have a good way to start your morning.
I love that. And it's so true. Stress is, it leads to a lot of the things that you've talked about. You work with the executives to help them fix. Okay. I have a few sort of random questions, before we wrap up. And I'll give you a chance to weigh in on anything that, I might've missed, but I'm curious, you come off, I think of you as a very positive person. In our Ripples of Hope meetings, the team frequently would talk about your energy and how you always come with that great positive attitude. I'm just curious randomly, do you think that's something that can be taught? Did you always have that? But do you think people can learn that later in life, or do you have to be born with it?
It definitely is something that everybody can work on. And the simplest, and actually the most important, and I don't know, you know, for me, it was like the most important way to find positivity is gratitude practice. I know there's a lot out there right now about gratitude, and rightfully so. Just very briefly, your brain wiring is set up in a way, if you have anxious and negative thoughts all day long, then the wiring in your brain that is used for those thoughts to be thought is very, very thick. So when you start practicing gratitude, initially there is actually no connection that supports that. Connections are made in the brain very, very fast. So you literally, you sit in the first day and you think of a few things that you're really grateful for. When I say think of, this is not a mental exercise that says, I'm grateful for my meal, I'm grateful for my family, but it's like, you know what? I am grateful that I have a roof on my head. It has been snowing outside. It's been windy outside just this one day in Atlanta. And my heart goes out to anybody who doesn't have that. And I'm grateful for, like, I really emotionally get into that. And you do with that create new brain wiring. And initially that's hard because your brain wants to use the old wiring over and over and over. And that's why it's so important that you do that daily, that you daily think about things that you're grateful for, because you're strengthening those new connections. And with the more you strengthen that connection, the old connections start to whittle down. So absolutely anybody can be a joyful and optimistic person. It just takes, yes, it takes a bit of work, but it's work that is really beautiful because it just makes you feel good to be grateful.
I love that. Well said. I know everybody listening is going to want me to ask this question. So how much and what type of chocolate is okay to eat?
That is funny. Well, coming from Austria, I'm a little bit of a chocolate snob, but the more cacao you have in it, a cacao, you know, has powerful antioxidants in it too. So I personally just love to eat. Chocolate is, you know, 80% of cacao content. So that's what I would recommend. I'm lucky to be in a place, I guess, the work that I've gone through, not just through, you know, working with coaches, but also the belief work that I talk about in my speaking engagements, reducing the beliefs that cause anxiety, that I'm at a place right now where I can just have a piece of chocolate if I want to. And I realized, like, I had this just before Christmas where I was in a stressful place and I found myself buying a 6-pack of cookies and I just went through them. Like, there's no tomorrow. But then that's my alarm bell. You know, I feel like in some sort of ways have addictive behaviors that just show up when we're stressed, and they will subside when you're in a calm and good place.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And I've been told that a glass of wine can be good for you. I've also been told that a 80% chocolate can be good for you. Is it actually good for you, or you're just saying it's not bad for you?
No, it's good for you. It's good okay. for you. Don't ditch the chocolate. Yes, I'm a promoter of chocolate. It's okay. What the challenge is the cookies and all of that stuff is just full of junk.
Got it. Okay. Do you have a couple favorite books that you like to recommend to people? Could be about living a healthier life. Could just be a fiction book you love, a business book. Do you have a couple that you point to?
Let's see. A book actually that fits really nicely into our conversation with stress. There's a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It was written by a pastor out of Portland, Oregon. And you just give some really practical tips on how to stay emotionally healthy and spiritually alive in our very chaotic and very modern chaotic world.
Hmm. Yeah, so needed. And yeah, fits in nicely with our whole conversation. Okay, my last question is there anything that I should have asked you, or you wish that I would have asked you and I didn't?
You know, and I want to bring that up just because I know you're personally so passionate about your purpose. And, I think having a purpose for me personally is important, but I think the purpose for Joyville that I want to share is to create a kinder world. And I think the big picture that I would love to share is that when you yourself are in a healthy and in a joyful place, you automatically show up differently to the rest of the world. You become a kinder person because you are just at peace. So I think that's important just from knowing you that I wanted to share. It just really creates a ripple effect that when you're in that place and you pass that on, that more and more people will do that. It's important. Yes.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, no, I agree. Purpose, having a purpose is important. And I love your purpose. Honey, thank you for joining me on the podcast today. It was really great to get to hear more about your background and what inspires you. You know, we know each other pretty well, but this gave me a deeper look into who you are and why you started this company. And also just thanks for this being what you have now dedicated your life to doing, because I love businesses that are a force for good. And this truly is. I mean, the impact that you're going to make and have been making on people's lives, I mean, it's the ultimate. You can talk about, you know, other than nonprofits, you can talk about businesses that try to do good in the world, but you're literally trying to get people healthy and get them on the right track and see a better version of themselves and get there. And I just think it's really inspiring. So thank you for all that.
Yeah, thank you. It brings me a lot of joy. It's just witnessing the journey that people are going through and you know, where they come out. It's so much fun for me, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else. So one thing, if I just may invite, if anybody is interested, just to go to joyville.com. I'm sure you have it on your website. It's joyville.com, and you can find all the information there. And even, you know, just as simple as checking out the blogs that we have out there, there's just a lot of information. Or if you subscribe, we just send out emails only every other week. We know people are super busy, but there are potent newsletters that just are filled with ways for you to reduce stress. So thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. And I will put links to the website, to your social media. I mean, you're a great person to follow, and the content you guys put out is great. So I'll put all that in the show notes. All right, honey, I hope to see you soon. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Wow. You made it to the end of the podcast. I didn't think people did that anymore. Well, since I still have you, I'd love for you to do two things. First, subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. That way, you'll be alerted as soon as I post my next one. And second, I'd love for you to subscribe to my email newsletter. I send out an email every week or two, and it's really where I share my more personal thoughts and ideas. Plus, I give stuff away sometimes. You can find the sign up at my blog, jeffhillemeyer.com, and I really do appreciate you listening.